traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Wow, equestrians, we're getting a lot of rain in Baltimore today. Well, actually, tomorrow, getting a lot of rain at Churchill Downs today. They said it's supposed to move east up to Pimlico tomorrow. So we're going to have a nice wet track like they've got at Churchill today. And also, the Preakness is going to be interesting this year. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But as we've been talking about all year long, we've been talking about the different tracks and the improvements that that they've had. And the improvement that they had at Churchill Downs was just unbelievable. That track and that facility is just second to none now. And that's the way all of racing's going now. It's just amazing the money that's being put into it. The fans in Louisville that support Churchill Downs, they're just phenomenal. They're good. It's probably the best sports city in the country, I would say. They support everything from UK basketball and football to UofL baseball and basketball. It's really a good sports state to be in. But having said that, Churchill for a long time has set the pace for the race to be the best tracks. And they've acquired Alice Park, and now Keeneland's involved in it. And then they've got, a lot of good harness tracks there now. They got three new tracks. And it's all, you know, where it's at. It's all about what you give to the customer and to the fans that attend to it. For example, Canterbury Downs kicks off their 30th season this year. It's just hard to believe that Canterbury's 30 years old. I remember when they were talking about building it. It was just something that, you didn't think would be out in Minnesota that would go over very good. But it really is. Canterbury Park will begin its 30th season of live horse racing on Saturday with an 8-race program beginning at 5:15 p.m. The first race will be followed by a simulcast of the 149th Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown from Pimlico Racecourse. Canterbury racing officials were pleased with the number of entries, totaling 77 on opening day. That's a nice little 8-race program. They got 77 horses coming in. And that's good for Canterbury Downs. So they're pleased with that. It's the first of 54 days of racing. Trainers brought horses to Canterbury Down that are already ready to race, and that is evident by the quantity of entries. The 1,100 stalls on the Canterbury Down backstretch are quickly filling. Many trainers that make Shakopee their home each summer have returned. Joel Brent, last year's leading trainer, he's back. Mac Robinson, winner of the training title 15 times, and has 9 entered on Saturday. There will be at least 9 trainers new to Canterbury grounds this year. That's the greatest thing in the world that they have, there at Canterbury. They're getting the trainers, they're getting the jockeys, they're getting the horses, and they're getting horses that are ready to run. And that makes a big difference, for Canterbury to come out and have horses ready to go. And it's going to be really good, good to see, them do that. And like I said, Canterbury's doing good. Monmouth Park and NYRA announced a sponsorship of Fox coverage. Fox Sports is going to be covering races from NYRA and from Monmouth Park this year. In addition to the expansion of television coverage, NYRA Bets becomes the title sponsor of the $1 million Haskell and Pegasus Stakes. The Haskell Stakes will headline Mama's July 20th card. The Pegasus Stakes, a traditional local prep for the Haskell, will be contested on June 15th as a part of the Haskell preview. A lot of the tracks are doing that now. And like we were talking about before, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, at Oakland Park this year, Gulfstream Park, and even Turfway Park, they have a lot of races when the stable area opens and they start training and get ready to race, at these different tracks. what they do is they've got a lot of prep races that lead up to the big race. In other words, like they've got the Southwest Stakes at Hot Springs, and they got a few other stakes that lead up to the Arkansas Derby. And same as they have in Gulfstream Park, they got the Fountain of Youth and other stake races that a trainer can go and prep at, get ready for, like the Florida Derby, you know, the Arkansas Derby, Louisiana Derby out of the fairgrounds. And what makes it nice about that is the horses can pretty much stay, you know, at the track, and they don't have to get out and travel. And that makes a big difference, you know, when you're training a horse. You can get consistent. And like we talked about this year, with all the rain that we had over the winter in New Orleans and Hot Springs, and even at Gulfstream a few times in Tampa Bay Downs. It kind of prepared them for what they're facing at Churchill and what they're facing at Baltimore for the Preakness. They've been there and done that. So that kind of evens the playing field, because they're all used to, you know, those type of conditions. And, you know, that's what I like about the Triple Crown. You spend the whole year getting ready, starting September 17th with the Iroquois at Churchill, and that starts the road to the Kentucky Derby on how they get there, which is a documentary that we'll be doing for 2025. So, you know, it gets them prepared for it, and like going into Pimlico tomorrow, you know, they're ready for it. It's a good day there today, you know, for the Black-Eyed Susan. And so, you know, we'll see how that goes. But overnight, it just depends on how much rain they get. If they get it like they're getting it in Churchill, it'll be a swamp. You know, it'll be a swamp there. But like I said, all these tracks are starting to make racing a lot better for the fans. And that's what gets the purse monies up there. They get the sponsors there. They get the whole nine yards. And Mammoth and Caesar's Casino break ground on the trackside complex. Mammoth Park and Caesar's Entertainment celebrated May 7th the start of construction on the trackside sports book and entertainment complex that will raise the bar for sports wagering and racing viewing venues in New Jersey. The state-of-the-art facility and full-service restaurant combo are set to open in 2025, featuring a 16,000 square foot indoor and outdoor sports viewing facility. I'm telling you, it's going to be wall-to-wall TVs in there. The food is going to be unbelievable. They got the Shake Shack is going to partner with them. They're going to have 25 self-service bedding kiosks. Those kiosks are kind of nice. I experienced that when I went to Woodbine in Canada. You walk in and you can walk right up to a kiosk and you can start, you know, your wagering. And what I like about that is most of the time, if you're a gambler, you pretty much know what you want for the day. You know, so you determine that the morning of the races, and you go in and you can make all your bets at one time at the kiosk, and then you don't have to worry about running back and forth. You can go into the restaurant and sit down and have your drinks and eat and not have to be worrying about running around, you know, the whole facility. And so that's at Mammoth Park. They're investing a lot of money into the sports complex there. You know, they've needed it for a long time, and they're one of the last tracks to really modernize and bring everything up to par, you know, for them there at Mammoth Park. So that's always good to see. And then Ellis Park down in Kentucky there, they're changed a lot. Churchill and Keeneland have got involved with them pretty heavy, and so that's really something to see there. In fact, Ellis Park, they've got a stakes purses this summer at Ellis Park of $3.7 million available across 18 days of racing beginning July 4th. And that's a lot of money for such a short period of time. And a lot of people are training at Ellis Park. They're moving in early and staying later at Ellis. And it's a good track to be at. Ellis Park, they, on their stage races, it's going to be led by the $400,000 Pucker Up. It's a grade three race, one of seven races across Kentucky Downs preview weekend, August 3rd and 4th. The Stellar Weekend racing also includes $300,000 Kentucky Downs preview Turf Cup, the $250,000 Kentucky Downs preview Mint Million, the Turf Mile, $250,000, Kentucky Downs preview Turf Sprint, $250,000, Kentucky Downs preview Ladies Turf Mile, $250,000 at Kentucky Downs, and then the Nashville Derby, which will be $250,000. You know, it's just amazing what they're doing down at Kentucky Downs and at Ellis Park. And the unique thing about their stakes program are they're starting to draw a lot of people, turf horses from California and from Europe. It's amazing on their stakes schedule. You know, it really benefits the trainers to come to Kentucky and run, you know, and that's what I like. That's what I like to see, that, see the things that are coming along. Tampa Bay Downs, for example, this year, their season was just phenomenal. They had a 2.4% increase from 2022 to 2023. The average daily handle at Tampa was $4,016,000. And that's really, I mean, that's a lot of money, you know, coupled with, the loss of an estimated $5 million handle in the March 9th when the communications went down on that day. And I tell you, it was really bad. They lost the tote system. They lost all the electric to everything that they had there. And it was just one of those things. And they estimated that the loss was $5 million. And that's a tough loss for a racetrack to hand, you know, take. But, you know, they're making four plus million a day at Tampa, and that's good. And a lot of the other tracks across the country are in the same situation. They're making $4 or $5 million a day, and that's really boosted up the racetracks across the country. And what I like about it, that means that people are coming into the communities like Tampa and Gulfstream at Hollandale and Shakopee and Santa Anita and Del Mar. You get a lot of people into town, and that creates a good economic impact, you know, like we've been talking about all year long. Those are the people that when they come to town, they go to Walmart and McDonald's, and, you know, they go to the Kroger's and Winn-Dixie's and Walmart's. They buy gas, they go to the doctor, you know, they spend their money in our communities. And it's a tremendous impact on our communities. And the racetracks, you know, they know that's good for them, and that's why they're making the venues a lot better. You know, like I was saying, Churchill is phenomenal. Santa Anita and Del Mar are, you know, top level. Belmont, which, you know, we've been talking about, they've torn down all of Belmont racetrack. They're putting in a new racetrack. They're putting in a new turf track, an artificial track that they're putting in, and it's going to be a sports center. They've already have a hockey stadium there, and it's just going to be a New York style place to experience sports betting and racing and hockey, and they got a huge infield that they're going to make fan friendly, so they can open it up like they did at Churchill Downs for the Derby. You know, they're going to make that you know, a real nice place, you know, to that. Then in Virginia, the certified program, VA program, released the Virginia Farms to receive a certification of the thoroughbred horse upon completion of their residency. Those horses that qualify to receive bonuses for eligible races. So in other words, what they're going to do is they're making horses that are bred in Virginia eligible for bonus money whenever they race. And that will be not only in-state but out-of-state. If you got a horse that goes to Kentucky, you know, and wins a race, then you're going to get a bonus for winning in Kentucky or wherever you go. And they're trying to bring up the breeding program in Virginia. And it's going to really going to turn things around in Virginia, I guarantee you. you know, that they'll be doing that over there. I get the biggest kick out of it whenever you go to Virginia. You think of Williamstown and all the colonial things that, you know, that are there, that they have to offer. You don't ever really think of racing, you know. So when you go to Colonial Downs, it's kind of exciting to go there. And one of the things that they do at Colonial Downs, they burn the track off, every year, and it seems to make the track a good footing, and I don't know how much it is show, but it is a good thing that they do there. They get a lot of people there, and they get a lot of community backing and spirit, and you know, it's just amazing, you know, what they're doing. And what I like about it is when you go to Colonial Downs, you've got Williamsburg that you can go to. You've got a lot of the tourist things that are there, camping, and in the summertime is really nice there, and you can go to the racing, and it's really good, you know, it's really good to see. And I don't know if they'll ever get harness racing back there again, but they said that's on the books that they're going for there. They have back to Naira and to Belmont. Naira adds bonuses for the 2024 Belmont Stakes, which is going to be held at Saratoga this year because they're rebuilding Belmont, and there's no track there. And what I like about this is going to Saratoga is Saratoga's racetrack is not configured to handle a mile-and-a-half race, you know, there. So what they're going to do is they're going to back the Belmont Stakes down to a mile-and-a-quarter. And that's put a lot of trainers in a whole different training mindset. With it not being a mile-and-a-half, a lot of the horses that ran in the Derby were prepping for the Derby. A lot of the horses are prepping for the Haskell, you know, Stakes that will be coming up. They're thinking, you know, Belmont Stakes. And that would be really a nice race to run in because it's going to be mid-June. And then, you know, you're looking at the Haskell Stakes that will be coming up, you know, four or five weeks later, which you get your horse right and ready for it. You know, there you got the Traverse Stakes that's coming up at Saratoga, which, you know, would be nice to get your horse ready for. So, you know, you're looking at potentially $4 or $5 million in purse money that a trainer can run for over a 3-race period and not really bang his horse up, you know, like they did. Now, a lot of the horses that were in the Derby, you know, boy, I tell you, they're going on the shelf. You're not going to see many of those horses around for you know, another couple of weeks. They'll suffer. They will surface at Belmont Park and Saratoga, Monmouth Park. You'll see maybe some of them going to Santa Anita. And for the Del Mar meet out there, that'll be interesting to see what happens there, you know, with that. But they're adding bonuses at Belmont. There's a lot of money to be had when they come up here for the 156th edition of the Belmont Stakes. It's on June 8th. The 4-day Belmont Stakes Racing Festival will include 24 stake races with purses totaling $10.25 million, the highest purse level of number of stakes offered since the launch of the multi-day festival in 2014. And what these racetracks are doing, they're kind of following after, you know, the Kentucky Derby, you know, when they have, you know, the Derby Festival. It's 10 days of fireworks and parades and food and balloon races and belt boat races and you name it, they've got it, you know, for the Derby Festival. And so now all the other people, you know, tracks are saying, hey, we might as well do the same thing. And it's really nice because Preakness Week is really nice. They got a big art festival. They got, you know, they got everything. But you know, it's going to take them a long time to ever catch up. And I don't think they'll ever catch up, you know, to the Southern Indiana, Kentucky area for the Derby. It's just, they're just so far ahead of everybody, you know, when they're doing it. But the 156 Belmont Stakes, like I said, it's on June 8th. It's a 4-day festival there. It says, and Saratoga's a great place to party. I mean, they party there enough as it is, but now they really got something to party about. Owners will now be eligible for a starter bonus for horses that finish in fourth through last at the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. So in other words, what they're doing, not only do you want you win the big money first through third, but fourth through last, they're gonna get some money, some purse money. It says with $1,500 being awarded for stakes race starters and $1,000 awarded to the owners of the starters in the overnight stake races. So in other words, they're gonna pay you $1,500 to enter your horse, and the owners are gonna get $1,000. And that's kind of nice to go when you're going in, and especially like at you know, big race time like you know, the Belmont you know, Stakes. The owner's got $1,000 he can put in his pocket and spend on his help, on his you know, on clients, you know, that type of thing. And that's what I like about that. And the horses get paid too. You know, that's really good. Trainers whose horses start in stake races at the festival will receive a $750 bonus to the trainer. And then while a $500 bonus awarded to trainers for the starters in all overnight races. So, you know, you're either going to get $500 or $750, you know, to trainers for every horse that they start. And that's really nice, you know, nice to see. You know, it shows that the tracks and the people are trying to make it economically, you know, possible for people to race horses, you know, in there. And you figure if every track did that, you know, you're going to be doing pretty good. And speaking of the Belmont, the interest surrounding the Belmont Stakes usually hinges on what happens in the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness Stakes. That's what everybody said. You know, how many of the horses from the Derby are going to run in the Belmont? How many are going to run in the Preakness? How many are going to, you know, go back to the Belmont Stakes? So you know, that's what you really think about it. It's a big hype. If the horse can win the first two legs of the Triple Crown, then the finale will be a blockbuster event drawing a huge, enthusiastic crowd at Belmont Park. Well, it's not going to be at Belmont Park this year. It's going to be at Saratoga. And I don't know if Saratoga can handle any more people if there were to be a Triple Crown winner. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what's going to happen with that. Now, having said that, in the crowd that they had at the Derby, 150,000 plus, they'll have 100,000 at Preakness. But what's interesting? The Belmont Stakes is already sold out, folks. They've already sold it out, and it's still, you know, waiting until the middle of June before that comes around, June the 8th. And so it just goes to show you that the venues do have some type of draw to them. If it's a nice, beautiful track, you're going to come. You know, and of course, Saratoga's always been a place for sellouts in it to see what they did. They sold out the day we opened the sales to the public. And that was, you know, that's kind of unusual, you know, when you get a place to sell out all its tickets in one day, you know, for that event. I'm telling you, what can you do? What can you do? But it's what you offer. It's what you offer. It's not only offering, you know, good horses, good trainers, and the famous jockeys. It's offering, you know, a place to go and have a nice time at. You know, now talk a little bit about Pimlico. Proposed legislation would pave the way for a Pimlico update. And folks, let me tell you something. Pimlico has been in bad shape for 20 years. I mean, when I stabled out there back in the 90s, I'm telling you, it was bad. I had to call the trainers that I worked for and tell them, you know, we got some stalls in here that are bad. You know, we got rats in here. We got everything in here. And it was tough for me to go in because I had a lot of work to do just to get our stalls safe for the horses. And, you know, it was just one of those things that it was neglect on the part of, you know, Pimlico management. It was due to lack of crowds weren't coming to Pimlico like they used to, and it was just slowly, you know, dying. And then the Stronic Group, they took over. They tried to resurrect it, and they did a real good job. They got good marketing in. In fact, one of the things that I like about Pimlico is they have I don't want to say a starving artist, but an artist in the making, the event that they have there. And what they do is they take artists from all around the country. It used to be just around the Baltimore area. And it was a type of thing where they would sell paintings and get sponsors and everything, and they donate the money back to, you know, the area around Pimlico to the community. And so now they've got artists coming from all over the country and all over the world to display their artwork. And they particularly they're focused on young kids is who they focus on. And it's amazing because these kids are getting scholarships to colleges. You know, they're going out and they're painting and they're selling their paintings. And you know, it's just, again, back to the economic impact of the community. You know, that's one of the things that they do. The Baltimore Sun and other media outlets reported March 14th that the state lawmakers are considering legislation that would move the Maryland Jockey Club to that a new model and rebuilding of Pimlico. Pimlico Construction Training Facility, the January report estimated that $400 million for the cost of Pimlico's renovations and a new training track at $275 million. $285 million would be put in to Pimlico, you know, to get it going, to get it right. Racing Authority Greg Cross said he hopes the legislature passes the bill. Every 10 years, the legislature tries to solve the problem, and every 10 years they kick it out of legislation. So, you know, it goes to show you that their concern for getting Pimlico back is not really good. We'll throw this out until 10 years from now. And most of those guys aren't even in office and they don't care. You know, that type of thing. So that's going to be interesting to see how that comes. But, you know, it's on the board, and I think last week they did pass it. I haven't heard, you know, for sure that they have done that, but I do know that it was favorable, and the horsemen were getting excited about it. The January reports that under the plan, the Stronic Group would remain have the right to develop Laurel Park property while racing would be consolidated to the rebuilt Pimlico. So they're going to be fixing up Laurel. You know, they're going to be doing a lot of things there in Maryland. They're still trying to work them out, but you know, Maryland deserves that because the patrons and the people of Maryland, their breeding program is an excellent program. They breed a lot of good show horses, so excellent standard bred horses, you know, and of course they top out with great Maryland bred thoroughbreds. So, you know, that's what they're looking at. So, you know, it's all getting around, and what's nice about it is all the things that they're doing and there has drawn into the TV market. Now, like here at International Equine Network, we're getting ready to notch things up to the next level. I've developed racing programs and show horse programs and breeding sales programs for a weekly schedule. And I'm working on with sponsors and everything. And basically what it would be is it would be 2 half-hour programs a day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Now, if you go to my website, intv.org, you'll see that, like on here today, that we have, we've got Racing Across America. It's coming from, we're coming from all across America. In fact, it's race 4 at Belmont there. It's live. It's got 11 minutes to post time. If you want to see that race, go to intv.org and you'll catch that. Post time's in 11 minutes, the 4th race at Belmont Park. Then we have tomorrow. We've got the Preakness Stakes on there. We've got the 149th Preakness Stakes, a preview from NBC that you can go to and look down. It'll tell you any and everything about the Preakness tomorrow. Of course, we have our regular podcast that we have here on the show. We got Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. It's an artist show that we have here that come out to Sunshine Meadows. Artists from all over South Florida and New York come down and they display their show, their works, and they even do portraits of horses. If you go on a horse and want your portrait taken and you're at Sunshine Meadows, you know, you can get them. And we've got some internationally known artists there. Ralph Papa runs the whole thing. And, you know, he's always doing shows in Italy. And I think he's up in Maryland now doing a show. He's a great guy. And you come down, talk to him, and he'll tell you all about the art and what we do here, you know, for the horse people. Our business of the week is an amazing company. It's called Farm Vet. Farm Vet is a company that delivers to you anywhere in the world, literally. They drop ship to you. All you got to do is call them, and next thing you know, FedEx or UPS delivers to you the next day or two. So you can always, you know, keep consistent. You don't have to be running all over creation to a tack shop. You know, Farm Vet can supply you wherever you're at, whenever you need it, whether it's the farm or the racetrack or, you know, what have you. And then our equestrian of the week is a man that I worked for a couple of years. It's Dwayne Lucas. Dwayne's 88 years old now. He's still training. He's still riding his horse. The man is just a phenomenal trainer. He set the bar for all the trainers that are running today, like Todd Pletcher and all kinds of trainers that he had, you know, working with him over the years. Mark Hannigan was one of his trainers. You know, they got everybody, you know, there with him. And I tell you what, I've known Wayne now for 20 plus years, and Wayne is a better person than he is a horseman, and that says it all right there about Dwayne Lucas. We got our quick links that we have on there. We've got Trivago, which if you need a hotel on the road, you go to them, you get a good discount there with them. We got the weather.com. And what I like about that is if you're traveling, going from Florida to New York or California or Chicago or wherever, you know, you're just one click away of finding out what your weather's like where you're going, and it helps you plan your trip. And then we have MapQuest. MapQuest is really good because a lot of times you need something like that where they can tell you, you know, who has the low bridges and who doesn't have the low bridges, you know, for the horsemen when you're traveling with your trailer. And it tells you, you know, where the hot spots are and how to avoid them. And then we have Walmart. Walmart, I love. They're great. They're one of my sponsors. Walmart, you can order online, and they deliver right to your house. And what I like about Walmart is they'll deliver to you at the track, at the farm, at your hotel, whatever you need. You just go online, and in a couple of hours, they'll have it to you right then and there. And what I like about it is you pay the same price as the price is in the store. They have a yearly membership, which is usually like $99, but quite often during a year, you can get it for half price at $49. And so, you know, that is really worth it because, you know, you don't have to spend your time grocery shopping, driving back and forth in traffic. You can get it all to you. And so that's what I like about Walmart. And then to piggyback on Walmart, I use a service called Happiness Service. They're a laundry service, and they'll pick up at your door and bring it back to you the next day all folded or on hangers and clean as you could do it yourself. So now if you get in there and you get to, if you get to Walmart and Happiness, to do your clothes, you're saving 2 or 3 hours out of your week that you can, you know, put into family things and sleeping, you know, that type of thing. Or, you know, back into the barn working with the horses. So those are the ones that are good. And then we have HISA. HISA is an organization that is bringing safety to the horse people. They're monitoring all the rules and regulations. They're making sure that the racetracks and the farms and the trainers and the grooms and the hot walkers and everybody, goes by the rules. And they're just like overseeing everything. And it's a federally and state-backed program. And so that gives them some weight when they come in and they make recommendations with what they do. And then we go to equine transportation. And on there today, we've got Brookledge. Brookledge is a great company to work with. They've had professional drivers, and more importantly, they've had horsemen. They're horsemen that travel with the horses. They've been there. They've done that. And they build all their own trucks out in Ole, Pennsylvania. And it's top-of-the-line equipment, top-of-the-line drivers, very professional. They're there every time on time. And I know because I used to work for them, and that's what I used to do with them. And it's really good. And they can take anywhere from one horse, to an 18-wheeler load, and they go anywhere from local to state, and all the way out to the West Coast in Canada. So, you know, they're good to be around. So Brookledge is the one I recommend. And then last but not least, this is probably one of the most amazing equestrian companies that I've ever dealt with or that I've ever seen. The name of the company is Hallway Feeds. And you can go to www.hallwayfeeds.com, and they've got a ton of videos there. And what I like about Hallway Feeds is you can call Hallway Feeds, and they will tell you if you got a problem with a horse eating, not eating, if you got a horse that's overweight, too skinny, if you got a horse that's in hot weather, cold weather, they can tell you what they need to be fed. And what I like about Hallway Feed is they manufacture their feed right there in Lexington, Kentucky. And they can ship to you anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world. So in other words, you're getting feed for your horse. As if you buy it at Churchill, you get the same feed at Gulfstream, Hot Springs, New Orleans, California, Canada. You get the same feed with everybody. And when your horse is on the same feed and you don't have to switch off, you're really in good shape, my friend. You're really in good shape. And so, and that's what I like about them. They've got all professionals, family owned, and they can tell you anything that you need to know about your horse. And, that's the kind of companies that you need to have. And when you come to intv.org, you're just a click away from all these things that we're talking about now. You come here, you're one click and you're at Brookledge. You come here and you're one click at Trivago. You're one click from Farm Vet. You can take care of all your needs right then and there, you know, with it. And like I said, on the website here, we've got the Belmont, races, the fourth race is post time in 3 minutes or 2 minutes now. For the fourth race, it's Belmont at the Big A. And so it's all live. You can come and see that. We got and Racing Across America, they're out at other tracks too. You know, it's just not Belmont. But they're at other tracks. And then this is the funny thing that back years ago, I was trying to get this thing, years and years ago, I was trying to get IEM started. And I knew that I had to do a lot of educating on myself. I had to do, a lot of work experience trying the different areas. And one of the biggest things that helped me get over the hump was my cousin Ron. He got me, housed me, he fed me, he gave me beer, got me in trouble, got me out of trouble. He did everything for me down in New Albany, Indiana. And so I did some video when I was in Wellington and Keeneland, and I had the IEN rough cuts of how we started, or how I started at IEM. and it was really pretty cool at Wellington. Did some things, ideas that I had. And then the rough cut that I did at Keeneland, with Anna Seitz. We went to Keeneland and we followed, a couple of owners around, and we just showed, what all it takes, to get to the races, about going to the sales and everything. And then, that was good. But, And then I've got a friend at the state ag department here in Tallahassee, and they sent me a video. It's called The Florida Horse. It's about the economic impact of the horse in Palm Beach County and the state, and it really gives you an insight to how important they are, to us here in the community. And then I've got over there from Aqueduct, I have a thing called Talking Horses, and all the racetracks have them. But Aqueduct and Naira is the best at it. They come in and they give you a look at today's races that morning, the morning of the races. And it's really good if you're a handicapper. They tell you all the ins and outs, and they give you everything that you need to know about that. And so, we got that. And then I want your information on International Equine Network. I want to tell your story on the International Equine Network. We can do a story on you. We can do a story that you've already done yourself. We just want to know who you are, where you're at, and what you're doing, and where you plan to go. And if you come in to me and do that, I've got two spots on my website, and it's all free. We can interview you. We can put you there in the right spot and help boost your sales, help you build your business. We can do that. We'll do that. We've got on there today, we've got from Qatar, we've got some things that that were done, and some show horse jumping and some different things like that. Then we got the International Equine Report. You come in there and you click onto the link, and it'll take you back to BBS Radio, and it was last week's program. And tomorrow you'll be able to hear today's program. If you didn't get just click on it and you can get to it. And then the things that I'm really getting excited about, the Olympics are coming up. I've got a show called Quest for Equine Gold. It's about how horses prepare for the Olympics. We will have the Olympics on Quest for Equine Gold in July, so you'll have to stay tuned for that. Right now we got a replay of the Adequate Global Dressage Festival and Grand Prix. We have that on there now. And then we got coming up on the 21st, which is Sunday, at 4 o'clock, we have the final championship final for the U.S. Open Polo Championship live from Wellington, Florida. So you'll be able to see that at 4 o'clock. Today we have on last call, we've got the Mid-Atlantic 2-year-old in training sale. That's today. You can go and watch it live, and then we'll have the sales on it live on Monday and Tuesday. We'll have that there for you to see. And then one of the things that that I developed, and I think it's going to really go over big, all the racetracks have given me a good response to what I was doing with this. It's called Triple Crown Tradition, and we'll be bringing that to you here in the next few months. We'll start having some shows on there. Like, for example, we named it the Triple Crown Tradition because it's after the Triple Crown, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And what we do is we get an owner, a trainer, and a jockey Derby week, and they're going to have a cook-off. And whoever wins the cook-off will go to the road to the finals. And the finals will be at Santa Anita and Del Mar during the Breeders' Cup. And so we'll do the same thing at Pimlico and the same thing at Belmont. We'll feature barbecue and things like that from Churchill Downs. We'll feature seafood, crab cakes, and things like that from Pimlico. And Belmont will be steak and lobster. It'll be the high-end, type thing from Belmont. And once we get that, the winners from each one of those, the three winners will meet at the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar and Santa Anita when they host them, and we will have the ultimate cook-off, and we'll know whether it's a jockey, a trainer, or an owner at that cook-off, and we'll see their famous recipes that they have. We also have what we call the TCT recipes, or Triple Crown tradition recipes. This week on here we have, I tell you, it looks good. It's the hot brown bake. You find out how you make that. And then we have Kentucky Burgoo, how to make that. Everybody makes Burgoo different. There's no one really set recipe to follow because everybody has their own little tweaks that they put in them. And same thing with the hot brown. But those are on there. And then, like I said, we got Quest for Equine Gold. And one thing that I really liked is we're going to have Flying Turns on there. It'll be all the standard bred racing from the United States and international racing to see. And that's going to be a real good one on there. We have a show on there now called In the Sulky. It was March 16th, and it features Scott Zeron. Scott Zeron's the hottest trainer in the standard bred industry right now. He's winning any and everything, and it's good to get to know him, you know, and so that's entertaining. And then we've got all kinds of quarter time. We've got AQHA things that are there that talk all about cowboys and rodeos and everything like that. So it's good. And then the thing that I've really dreamt about and really want to do, and I'm doing it upright because we did a test this year of how I wanted to get it set up. And so I finally figured it out, and I've had a lot of good feedback from the trainers and owners and a lot of the general public that we have. It's called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. The journey starts with the owner when he buys a horse. The owner has to go through a lot of things, you know, to get on the road to the Kentucky Derby. He's got to get a trainer. He sits down with the trainer, and then they discuss racing and the horses that they have and where they're going to run them and if they're derby horses or not. The trainer and the owner select a jockey. They talk to the jockeys and see what they think. Then the two, the owner and the trainer, have to get with the equine transportation to get their horses around to the different tracks. Then you got to get with the blacksmith and make sure that the blacksmith has got a schedule that will fit your schedule, that he'll be in the areas that you're going to be in to get your the horses shod. And then we got the feed people from Hallway Feeds that's going to get your feed where you need to go. Then we got the equine sales. Where do they go? I tell you, myracehorse.com is probably one of the best places that you can go. You can become a micro owner, and those micro owners are just as much an owner as a guy that owns a horse outright. They're really good to go to. It's behind the scenes at the Keeneland Sales with set there, myracehorse.com. And then we've got all the derby prep races live every week. You go to our derby prep races and starting September 17th at the Iroquois in Churchill Downs. We'll have every derby prep race live on IENTV.org. And then we have the decision to run for the Kentucky Derby. That's when the trainer, the jockey, the owners, the grooms, the hot walkers, the wives, the girlfriends, they all get together and say, are we going to run in the Derby? And it's the ultimate decision of the owner, but that's how they do it. And then the first Saturday in May, we have the Kentucky Derby there. So that's what we do with that and everything. So that's IENTV.org. And our whole goal here is to actually become the largest distribution of equine information in the country. There's not a lot of people doing that. They're real specific. For example, Churchill only worries about distributing their product. Same with Pimlico, same with Keeneland. Salespeople, that's all they care about. It's their product. And, you know, you go from there. And Brookledge, you know, they care about distribution on their information and all. But what I do is I put it all together, and it's a one-stop place where you can go, you know, and you can find any and everything that you need to know about the horse industry. And it takes you behind, when I take you behind the scenes, like in the Derby, we'll see how they travel on the vans, on the airplane, you know, which I flew with Enstone for a few years, and you'll see what it's all about. You know, you see how they do, and it's amazing because I know I can pretty much guarantee everybody that they've been driving down the road and seeing a big 18-wheeler hauling horses or a little two-horse trailer hauling horses. And, you know, you don't really get to get inside or see how they do it, but at IENTV.org, you're going to see it. You're going to see that for sure. And all, but we're going to talk a little bit now. I rambled on a little bit too much here, I think. But we're going to talk here about the Preakness. The Preakness is usually a pretty tough race. This year we're going to have a 7-horse field. And hold on, that's a Pimlico special. Here, let me get over here to the Preakness itself. The Preakness is going to be a tough race this year. I'm telling you, you know, it's just one of those things that what do you do? How do you run in it? They're talking about rain. They're talking about, you know, bad weather. You know, it's just, you know, what can you do when that happens? You know, not much you can do with it. I tell you, I feel bad for them this year. I really do, because of the weather conditions. There's not going to be a lot of horses out of the Derby that were in there. Moot has already scratched. He had a fever. Uncle Heavy is a nice horse. He's going to be interesting to see. Mystic Dan's going to be tough. I tell you, the horse is a sleeper, I think, and that's Seize the Gray for Wayne Lucas. That's good. We got the wet track ratio here on him. For example, on Uncle Heavy, his power rating is 84. Catching Freedom is 92 wet track. Mystic Dan's got a 101. Seize the Gray's got a 75. Just Steele's got an 88. And then we got Tuscan Gold and Imagination. I think Imagination might be the sleeper out of this whole group. I really do. He's gonna be tough. He's gonna be real tough. But you know, like I said, it's all about everything that you do, where you go and how you do it. If you tune into INTV.org today, you'll be able to see at 5:44 Eastern Time the Black-Eyed Susan. It's an 8-horse field. Steve Asmussen's got Recharge, great horse, Recharge. Dwayne Lucas has got Lemon Muffin. And I think Wayne could have the double this year, the Oaks and the Preakness. That Lemon Muffin is really a good horse. I'm telling you, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Suge McGee, he's got Who Could Ask for More. That's a good horse there, and the Black-Eyed Susan. But that's basically it, folks, you know, for today. You know, we're trying to get there. And, you know, like I always say, the best thing about my show is I don't have any listeners, had no call-ins, got no listeners. And so I'm a happy camper today because I don't have any critics. And when you don't have any critics, it's a happy day. It's a happy day, that's for sure. But someday we'll get those call-ins, and someday I'll have real professional people here doing the show. And, you know, then I can take the critics in because I can sit back and say, oh, gee whiz, that guy didn't know what he was doing. What was I thinking? And also, folks, turn in next week. We'll give you a recap of the week, and we'll tell you what's coming up. And we've got a lot of live polo. We got some live horse sales next week. And we're going to have some really good Olympic trials coming up here soon. So this is Scott Miller. Wait until next week for International Equine Network.